Answers Magazine, Volume 11.2, Perspective. Color it blue. Suppose you met eight people who looked and talked so much like each other that you could hardly tell them apart. You'd probably think they were closely related. But what if they lived in eight different cities, hundreds of miles from each other, and they lacked any family connection? How could you explain the startling resemblance? That's the puzzle facing biologists who are studying tarantulas. They've found that 40 out of 53 genera of tarantulas exhibit a nearly identical brilliant blue color. All of them fall within a very tight wavelength range of 20 nanometers. Interestingly, the microscopic structures that reflect light to produce this brilliant blue are very different from one species to another. They are so varied that the researchers conclude they would have had to evolve independently at least eight times in tarantulas separated by hundreds of miles. Evolutionary scientists often explain such seeming coincidences as convergent evolution. The idea is that different animals supposedly evolve identical characteristics independently when they face a similar survival need. Convergent evolution is extremely improbable under the best of conditions. But in this case, researchers are hard-pressed to find any advantage for this color to converge on the same wavelength. For example, it has nothing to do with attracting a mate, since tarantula eyes probably can't even distinguish this shade of blue. Rather than believing that blind evolution caused tarantulas to develop the same cobalt blue again and again, there is a simpler explanation. The tarantula's infinitely creative designer gave them their brilliant hue. He may have created several tarantula kinds, each with a different mechanism for producing the color. Or he may have put the information for the different structures in the genes of one original kind. In any case, the glory goes to the creator for his creative genius. This brilliant blue beauty could not arise by chance, even once. But God brought the same hue into being at least eight different ways. If we refuse to see Him in His creation, we are truly without excuse.
Fickle sticklebacks. A little fish in Alaska is astonishing evolutionary researchers by its ability to adapt quickly after the state's great earthquake of 1964. This designed adaptability supports creation theories about God's design for animals to fill changing environments. For decades, evolutionary biologists have touted members of this fish family, called sticklebacks, as an example of evolution in action, although they believed stickleback evolution required thousands of years of random change. Most stickleback species live in the ocean, but they are highly successful at populating waterways across the globe. And freshwater species are found in the lakes and rivers of North America, Europe, and Asia. Sticklebacks have unusual spine-like spikes and armored plates instead of scales. The freshwater sticklebacks in rivers and lakes have few armor plates and seem to have descended from heavily plated ocean varieties. Evolutionary biologists believe they adapted from their saltwater ancestors gradually over thousands of years, after the glaciers receded and left behind bodies of fresh water on the northern continents. Creationists have argued, in contrast, that the original created kinds, or baramins, of fish diversified rapidly after the flood into lots of species by the Creator's design. Most of that change took place in just a few centuries after the flood, according to information already built into the fish's genes. A surprising report, published in December 2015, however, supports the creationist idea that diversification can take place rapidly, even within a few years. In this study, biologists observed sticklebacks that were trapped in Alaskan ponds cut off from the ocean by the massive earthquake in 1964. When the salt filtered out of the ponds, the sticklebacks diversified into freshwater species within a few generations. The study also verified that no freshwater sticklebacks lived in the ponds during the earthquake. So freshwater species must have descended from saltwater species trapped there during the earthquake. The researchers were astonished by how rapidly change took place in these fish. Evolution can't explain this by random changes and deaths over thousands of generations. They were also surprised that the new species looked very similar to freshwater species found in much older lakes created by retreating glaciers. Such discoveries suggest that all the freshwater stickleback species were designed to diversify within just a few years if fish were trapped in freshwater. The humble stickleback shows God's design for animals to adapt to specific new environments rapidly, not over millions of years of wasteful, random change and death.
Given the opportunity. A recently discovered fossil of a gibbon-like creature is being hailed as a missing chapter in the history of apes, which evolutionists believe split into different lines before humans evolved. But is Pleiobites catalonii, found near Barcelona, really a long-lost cousin of ours? Evolutionary scientists believe that hominoids, lesser apes and great apes, evolved from a common ancestor. Researchers thought that the common ancestor was more like a great ape because all the earliest undisputed hominoid fossils found so far were large-bodied. But the characteristics of this new creature seem to bridge a gap between extinct hominoids and living ones. Its similarities to both great and lesser apes lead researchers to think that the hypothetical common ancestor was more gibbon-like. Creation scientists are also interested in learning how apes varied as they reproduced and spread out from the Ark in obedience to God's command to fill the earth. Evidence suggests that they diversified greatly from the few representatives of their kind on the Ark. Yet it seems clear that the greater and lesser apes were separate kinds from the very beginning. Meanwhile, humans stayed behind for many years at Babel, in defiance of God's command. Genesis makes it clear that humans are separate from apes and that we do not share any ancestors. The search for our great-great-great-grandfather among the greater or lesser apes is a hopeless quest.
A replacement for Pluto? Pluto has lost its planetary status, but astronomers believe they may have found a replacement. Well, they haven't actually found it, but they've deduced its existence. Maybe. Since 2003, astronomers have discovered several Pluto-sized bodies in highly elliptical orbits beyond Neptune, dubbed Kuiper Belt objects, KBOs, or trans-Neptunian objects, TNOs. Several of these TNOs show a remarkable similarity. Although their orbits vary significantly, they all come closest to the Sun, perihelion, about the same place. The probability of this clustering by coincidence is very low. Enter the ninth planet. In a paper published in the Astronomical Journal, two astronomers have proposed that the gravitational influence of a hypothetical ninth planet could accumulate to place these TNOs into this unusual alignment. The ninth planet would have to be at least 10 times as massive as the Earth. It would orbit an average distance of approximately 700 times the Earth's distance from the Sun. However, its orbit would be very elliptical, quite unlike any other planet. But don't get too excited. Although the math seems to work out well, no planet has actually been discovered. Furthermore, this explanation requires millions of years to perturb the TNOs into their present orientation. From God's word, we understand that the world is only thousands, not millions of years old. For those who still fret over Pluto's demotion, this potential new planet could restore the order they once knew. But it is more likely that astronomers will never find Planet X, and it will fade into oblivion.
Trashing the Bible. The past few decades of biblical archaeology have been characterized by what's called a minimalist view of the Bible. Only a minimal number of events recorded in the Old Testament are treated as reliable history. That anti-Bible mindset is now being increasingly challenged. Last year, in a dump site near the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, archaeologists discovered a clay seal from the 8th century BC, used by King Hezekiah of Judah to sign documents. The bulla is the first such seal discovered by archaeologists. According to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5, after him, Hezekiah, was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him.
First Amendment upheld. On January 25th, a federal court ruled that it was unconstitutional for Kentucky to exclude Answers in Genesis from participating in tourism benefits simply because of its religious viewpoint. The judge has ordered the state to move forward in processing AIG's application for tax rebate incentives, which will become effective after the Ark Encounter theme park opens and is operating. The state's new governor, Matt Bevin, unlike his predecessor, fully supports the Ark project and will not appeal the decision. In his decision, Judge Greg Van Tattenhove of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Kentucky also upheld AIG's right to religious preferences in its hiring. The ruling in favor of AIG will now prohibit the state from excluding the Ark Encounter and other applicants simply because they are religious in nature. "I rejoice in the court's decision today," said Ken Ham, AIG president. "The law is crystal clear that the state cannot discriminate against a Christian group simply because of its viewpoint. But that is precisely what happened here. The decision today is a victory for the free exercise of religion in this country." "This ruling is an important precedent," said Mike Johnson, chief counsel for the public interest law firm Freedom Guard, who argued the case for AIG. "The court has affirmed a long-standing principle that the Constitution does not permit a state to show hostility towards religion." Ham noted the AIG case involved more than just a tax rebate. "We are standing up for all religious groups and churches that want to maintain their free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment." Regarding hiring practices, the judge noted that a religious organization is excluded from the provisions of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because of Title VII of that act. The judge merely upheld the law.
Passing Justice. With the passing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on February 13, America lost a brilliant legal mind and an advocate of religious freedom and judicial restraint. A traditional Roman Catholic, Justice Scalia opposed abortion and homosexual marriage, two hot-button issues addressed in the Book of Genesis. Based on Genesis, the Catholic Church teaches that humans are created in God's image, thus making abortion wrong, and that God instituted marriage expressly as one man for one woman. In his scathing dissent against the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of homosexual marriage, Scalia claimed, among other things, that the court's action was worse than England's treatment of the American colonies. He called the decision social change without representation. Concerning creation, Justice Scalia dissented in the infamous 1987 Edwards v. Aguilar decision, where the Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional a Louisiana law requiring that creation be taught alongside evolution in government-run schools. Whether or not Scalia personally agreed with creationists, he commented that the documents presented to the Supreme Court gave no reason to reject the scientific basis for creation. "We have no basis on the record to conclude that creation science need be anything other than a collection of scientific data supporting the theory that life abruptly appeared on Earth." He argued that the final decision should be up to legislators, not the courts. With so many cases pending on abortion and homosexuality, Justice Scalia's passing raised the stakes in this presidential election year. He was one of only four consistently conservative Supreme Court justices. If he is replaced by a liberal, U.S. citizens can expect an even more radical shift in legal decisions.
No Jesus at NASA. In May 2015, attorneys at NASA's Johnson Space Center told Christian employees to remove the sectarian name Jesus from their email announcing an upcoming meeting of the JSC Praise and Worship Club. The demand contradicts NASA's stated policy and long history of supporting free religious expression among its employees. Such a sudden shift, defended in the name of the U.S. Constitution's Establishment Clause, signals the rising influence of a strident, vocal minority that objects to any mention of Christianity in the public sphere in America.